Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Oh yeah. Super exciting as always. We have a very special podcast tonight, and it is going to be perfect for the upcoming week of Hanukkah. Yes, Hanukkah starts this Wednesday night. Get your oil ready, wicks, candles, however you light. And it's going to be a great podcast to prepare you for the real ideas of Hanukkah. But before we begin, we have some amazing, a real very special dedication to the one of the newest members of the Jewish people, Anna L. Meital Shambon. Anna L. Meital is a beautiful little baby girl born recently to Michael and Shira Shambon, who are dear alum, dear friends, and incredible supporters of Project 613 and this podcast. And so this dedication goes out to their beautiful baby girl and the rest of their boys and their beautiful family. I want to thank them for their love and friendship and support. And as they say, this podcast is for you. Thank you so much. Now, next, Shabbos in the city was beyond. It was actually beyond. It was unbelievable, incredible. People just kept signing up, and it was just electric. We had people, even during the day, come back, and we had the largest crowd for lunch. We had people throughout the entire Shabbos in downtown Chicago with us. It was absolutely an incredible thing. It's gaining momentum, third full weekend of the month. So spread the word to the Jewish young professionals in your network that is the place to be in River North, Chicago. Okay, want to thank also Randy and Robin Cohen, special mentors for coming down, as well as Zahava Nassanal Alexander and Shaya and Noah Nussbaum. We try to bring the shtetl, the hood of West Rogers Park, downtown with us to give an authentic feel. And there's nothing more than amazing Jewish families to give that feel. I want to thank all of those families for coming down with us. In addition, I would like to thank Ken Barish for sponsoring dinner. Yes, it is not a cheap endeavor, Shabbos in the city, feeding close to 100 people in the evening, close to 50 people in the day, and then the third meal and all the other things that go into it. So thank you, Ken, for your friendship and support. God bless you and your father should have a full and speedy recovery. And finally, I cannot finish a December Shabbos in the city without giving a shout out and a really just a gratitude beyond words to the Ember Foundation of Rabbi Yehuda Albin and their board of incredible people who dedicate so much of their time to Jewish nonprofits teaching authentic Judaism to unaffiliated Jews. And Ember Foundation sponsored the entire year of Shabbos in the city with a truly eye-popping, whopping grant. We worked very closely with them all year to make sure that we were on track, exceeding expectations, and it has been a source of tremendous growth for Project 613 and truly deep and profound impact on our participants. Okay, so thank you all for listening to that. I think it's very important to see how this Jewish outreach is made. And these people all stood up to really make it happen. So thank you to everyone. Now here we go. Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party. Oh, I don't think you listen to Money Motivation for me to sing a song. However, Hanukkah, I love teaching about Hanukkah because it is, I would say, one of the most misunderstood holidays in the Jewish calendar. And there's a tremendous irony that's built into Hanukkah. We were teaching at Project 613 this past Wednesday night, as we do. And I asked them, why do they think Hanukkah is so popular? Why did Hanukkah go global in the Jewish world? And everyone responded, well, because of Xmas. Well, and that's actually very ironic, because it's on the one hand good news, and on the one hand maybe not so good news. The good news is that, well, at least we're doing something Jewish, and Jews want to have something of our own, which is great. The bad news is that we are copying the non-Jews by having our holiday that's kind of like a distant cousin of the real McCoy. And a lot of people that I spoke with, one of our young professionals, also felt that, like, oh, Hanukkah is like the main actor and we're like the little wicked stepsister or something like that. We're in the background, and we rebranded it to show just how special Hanukkah is. And that's one of the things we hope to do tonight, that we are second fiddle to none. And Hanukkah, even though the lights may not be as ubiquitous and bold and bright and in your face, but the small, pure lights of Hanukkah have a glow all of their own that outshines all of the tinsel of the superficiality of our neighbors. And so let's get into the story. Now, what I'd like to do, and I, part of me says, I hope this is not controversial, and another part of me says, I hope this is controversial. So, there are many Jews who have wonderful intentions. They really are. They really are. And PJ Library is one of those Jewish institutions that sends out Jewish books to Jewish children. And they have the most wonderful intentions. They really do. But they get it wrong a lot. They just get it wrong a lot. In fact, if anyone wants to, any young Jewish parents out there want to have me vet the PJ Library books that are sent out, much of what is said, unfortunately, sadly, is not correct according to traditional Jewish thought and practice. And some of it is just downright wrong. Now, there is a whole holiday. It's a time to hope, PJ Library, and they have a whole thing about Hanukkah and how to celebrate it. And there's a particular article that I think kind of encapsulates the assimilated version of Hanukkah. And what we're going to do is kind of quote some parts of this article, and we're going to contrast it, and from the comparing and contrasting, I think we're going to come out with the real story. Okay, and again, you know, this is not personal. This is about truth. And one of the things that our culture has lost is the ability to argue and to critique, because it's like, you know, a personal offense. You know, it's a microaggression. No, this is called what we do in yeshiva all the time. We have an idea and we tear it apart. And then we have a counter idea. And by analyzing ideas, we actually come towards the truth. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to analyze a piece of PJ Library over here. Now, the article starts, it's on page 20, and it talks about, the author's father would have a beautiful box of Hanukkah stuff that he would go down and get, and there was an excitement, and that's good, and that's true. And the article talks about our attitude and our excitement for the holiday is infectious to our children, and that is 100% kosher and true. Jewish parents need to be excited about the mitzvahs, and, you know, that's our job to do that. So that's A+, good idea. Now, and the author then brings out many, you know, Jewish families, you know, that Hanukkah is in the shadow of Christmas. Okay, it is, right? So how do you deal with that? So she says, well, how do we celebrate Hanukkah? Do we relate to all the Christmas celebrations around us? Does our family celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, or both? Now, this is a rabbi of a Reformed congregation, and I understand that she has a lot of imagined intermarried couples. So again, I'm not knocking her for that. It could be that that is a difficult question that needs to be navigated. Now, she then proceeds to talk about a 9th century midrash that talks about Adam in the Garden of Eden. And he created an 8-day festival of lights to help people get through the wintertime darkness. Now, I have not seen the Midrash she's quoting, but okay, let's say there's a Midrash like that. But then she says the following. The tale reflects the innate human impulse to seek ways to bring light into dark times, a theme that connects Hanukkah and Christmas despite their many differences. And this is already, and even though she says there are differences, she already is trying to connect Hanukkah and Christmas. That really there's a universalistic theme that under is the undercurrent of both holidays. Okay? And that is wrong. There's nothing more diametrically opposed of Hanukkah to Xmas. Xmas, by the way, if you do a little bitty bit of research, is actually a pagan influence on classic Christianity. The Catholic Church in its early days basically said, I'll make a deal with you pagans. You believe in JC and the Trinity, and then we, the Catholic Church, will let you keep on to your pagan ideas and your pagan rituals. Just believe in the Trinity, accept JC, you're good to go. You can keep the baggage. And therefore, there was a ton of pagan ritual that was brought into Roman Catholicism. This is not the rabbi criticizing the church. This is fact. The Easter egg is pagan. The Yule log is pagan. The Christmas tree is pagan. These are all pagan things that got nothing to do with straight line Catholicism, but they were brought in and embraced. Judaism rejects paganism. We reject it fully and completely. There is not one connection whatsoever between the lights of Hanukkah and Christmas. They're totally opposite. Xmas is a pagan celebration of a non-Jewish holiday. We reject that. That's not who we are. And in fact, the author continues, the beautiful aspects that Hanukkah and Christmas celebrations share, lighting holiday lights and bringing joy to others, can be enjoyed while still feeling proud to be Jewish. Well, that is very nice. But again, she's blurring the lines and missing the point about what in the world Hanukkah is all about. She continues and says, after all, there is a delicate balance between preserving what is unique about being Jewish while also recognizing the contributions of other cultures and religions. That balance is central to the original Hanukkah story. No, it's not. It's got nothing to do with the balance of other cultures and religions. Hanukkah is the story of the total and complete rejection and repudiation of foreign religions. It's got nothing to do with the balance. And I know that might ruffle some feathers out there, but we speaketh the truth. And now this is a beautiful entree into what actually the story was. Hellenism was the approach of the mighty Greeks. It was not the classic approach to destroying local populations and bringing them back to the host mother country, like all the other nations and religion, other nations had done previously, the Babylonians and the Persians, etc., and enslaving people. The Greeks were happy to collect our taxes, and we could keep our things, our temple, etc., as long as we were like Greeks. So it was not only a political hegemony, but it was more even a cultural hegemony, that they wanted everyone to be like them. And as we've said here before, for most countries, most nations, most peoples at the time, Hellenism was a huge step up. Art, architecture, beautiful things, you know, math, accomplishment, striving. This was a big bump up for the rest of the world. However, it was a big step down for the Jews because they believed in polytheism, which is basically an excuse for self-worship. When you have many gods, you have no one final arbiter, no one final god that you need to bow to. And therefore, polytheism becomes very hedonistic, very secular, and very self-indulgent. Pagan and polytheistic cultures have always been off the rails in terms of their control in the sexual realm because it's all about fulfillment of my desires. And God is the way that I get that. God is the great jukebox in the sky that I put my quarter in to get what I want, and not the God with whom I have a relationship and I need to bow to him and to his service. And so therefore, when the Greeks came to the Jews, they were surprised, but we rejected them fundamentally and fully. However, there were parts of our people that did not reject the Greek culture. In fact, they were all in because, again, Greece was very attractive. In Chicago, you go to Michigan Avenue. Around this time of year, any time of year, particularly now, it's very attractive. There are purses you can buy for thousands of dollars. There are fancy clothes and fashion and an elite status that is very alluring for the Jew. It's saccharine to the sugar of what our soul really needs, but sometimes saccharine or Splenda, whatever sweetener you choose, can be a substitute for the real thing, a very dangerous substitute. And therefore, at least 10% of the Jewish people in the time of the Greeks were swept up in this Hellenism, secularization, to the point where many of the men had a reverse circumcision procedure. Don't ask me how they did it. It's called a Moshech Orla. They would have a procedure that would cut upstream and then literally pull the skin back to undo the circumcision, the covenant that represents our control over that area, to now become a Greek that puts the physical realm over the spiritual realm. And these Misyavnim, these secularists, ended up fighting with the Greeks against the Jews. Can you imagine this? Well, yes, we can imagine this. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is our battle today. We're no longer in the ghettos. We're no longer, even though I know there's an uptick of anti-Semitism today, we all know it, but we're not in the ghettos anymore. We are fighting today the emotional and spiritual and cultural fight that our ancestors, the Maccabees, fought then. The freedom of America has given us a blessing and a curse, but it all depends on how we choose to relate to that freedom. Sadly, many, many, many Jews have given up. Many, to no fault of their own, they were not given much. But sadly today, if you line up 10 young Jews, the population with whom I work, you line up against the wall, you can statistically predict that 7 to 8 of them are going to be marrying non-Jews. They're going to be intermarrying. And there's no issue of blame. There's no blame. This is just a statistic. It's the fact. It's the reality. And the stories of what was back in the day, you know, the statistics are that there were somewhere around 5 to 6 million Jews at the turn of the 20th century, 1900, in America. And today, there's about 5 million Jews in America and change. Now, that's funny. 124 years later, there are estimates that there should be up to 24 million Jews in America today. But where are they? They're just no longer Jews. They're secular, or in churches, or maybe even in mosques. Who knows? But they're certainly not with us anymore. And I had an experience this past week. I traveled to New York, and it was so poignant. And if you look at the cover of Monday Motivation Podcast, this episode has a gorgeous picture of Ellis Island at sunset. Ellis Island is that great gateway, the gateway of hope that so many millions of Jews had for a better life. And who could blame them? My own great-grandmother came with 4 young boys, one of them being my grandfather, through Ellis Island to the promise of a nation, of a country where the Tsar would not send out his vicious pogroms that ended up killing my great-grandfather. And yet, of those 4 boys, those 4 young boys, maybe there should be 40 Garfinkels. Maybe there should be 100 Garfinkels. Men, there's only one left. My father was the only one in his generation that had me, and then I passed on. I have one son. Well, you have 7 daughters, unless they marry a Garfinkel. And we're just one of them, but we made it. We made it. How many didn't make it? How many didn't make it? They lost the great overwhelming battle of the modern battle of Hanukkah that we have today. And why was I in Elisan? And this I want to share with you, a personal, very powerful moment for me. As I was sitting there, we were in a magnificent building right at the beginning of State Street. And I looked out in a penthouse. Well, it wasn't a penthouse, but it was a corner office of a very incredible person of blessed memory, Zev Wolfson. And I was in, who really founded what was today known as Olami, and his son, Rabaron, runs it. And this is the great umbrella organization of which Project 613 is a proud, proud member, working with young professionals in Chicago. And I was called to New York for a very important meeting about strategy and major, updates, changes. And it was an honor to be in that meeting. And we prayed in that office. And we, at Mincha, the afternoon prayer. And after Mincha, I looked out, and there that was that most gorgeous sunset. And I thought, how many millions of Jews came through Ellis Island, and maybe they left their tefillin there, or maybe they took it with them, or maybe they came to Ellis Island without tefillin, and maybe they came there Shomer Shabbos, and maybe they didn't. But how many Jews from their entrance into America jettisoned their Judaism? And we can't blame them. I don't know what it was like, and I'm not playing Monday morning quarterback, but it happened. And there we were, a small group of people dedicated to reversing that trend, to literally try to sweep the waves of the ocean back with a broom, the ways of assimilation, the ways of Hellenism, the modern Hellenism, the modern battle of Hanukkah. And that was so powerful for me to see that effort to be a part of that effort to bring Jews back. And all we need to do is just educate. We have the goods. We have the goods. The Torah has the meaning and the purpose. We do not need to switch our beautiful menorah for the superficial, glittery lights of pagan Christmas, because that light of Hanukkah represents godliness, represents meaning and purpose. And that's who we are, that we don't make a huge noise in the world, but that small light, those small lights of Hanukkah literally have God's divine presence in them. And those lights are what truly light up the world. It is an honor to be on the front line of trying to be a modern day Maccabee, to influence, to teach, to inspire young Jews to come back to explore our world, our heritage. I want to thank everyone who this year in 2024 has been part of our team effort to be modern Maccabees in face of the mighty Greeks of today. God bless. Have an amazing Hanukkah. And may we all together continue the most important fight in the Jewish world, which is the fight for the Jewish soul. God bless. Have an amazing day, amazing week, and happy Hanukkah. And God willing, we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.